Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad that you're with us today. Hey, have you ever wondered why the Bible tells us, as the followers of Jesus, not to take revenge on people in this world and not to treat people spurlessly to get ahead and not to step on people and not to scheme and connive against people and not to use people and not to try to get ahead in this world by those kinds of unrighteous behaviors? You ever wondered why? Well, one of the reasons is what we're going to talk about today. So, we're going to continue in our series of the Gospels. We're approaching the end here. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today and the privilege of studying your word. Father, I pray that you might open up our hearts so that we can receive your word. Lord, illuminate our spirits by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can understand your word. And Lord Jesus, change our lives and our value system because of our time in the word today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And what did everybody say? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. We're in the book of John, chapter 18, where Jesus has been turned over to the Jewish leaders, been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. They have given him a little trial and assumed and decided that he was guilty of blasphemy. And now in the morning, they take him to Pilate. And this is where we pick up the story from the New King James Version of the Bible. We study the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, and then we apply it to our life. And that's what we're going to do. So let's pick up in verse 28 of John's Gospel, chapter 18. Here we go. Then they, that is the Jewish leaders, led Jesus from Caiaphas, the high priest, to the praetorium, and it was early morning. And they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Okay. Now, a couple of things here that deserve mentioning. First of all, these guys, you talk about hypocrites, they're willing to murder Jesus, and that doesn't defile them. They're going to go eat the Passover, but they're not willing to walk into a Gentile room like the Praetorium because they're worried it'll defile them and they can't eat the Passover. So they'll kill him, murder him, Jesus, but they won't walk into the Praetorium. The hypocrisy, again, is beyond belief. And the Praetorium was a room where the governor there, who Pontius Pilate, would sit and try cases and pass judgment on potential defendants, you know, criminals. And it was located right at the northwest corner of the Temple Mount in the Antonio Fortress, named after Anthony, one of the people that played a role in Rome at the days of Julius Caesar. And yeah, he's the Anthony and Cleopatra guy. Exactly. So this is where they were, on the northwest corner of the Temple Mount. And why was Pilate in Jerusalem at this time? And you say, well, he was the governor of Judea, so he was always in Jerusalem, right? No, not right. The governing the capital of Judea in those days, where the Roman government was based, was not Jerusalem. It was Caesarea, where they found the Pontius Pilate stone. It was a majestic city. It was a magnificent city that had been built by Herod the Great to honor Caesar. Caesar, Caesarea, named after the first emperor, Augustus Caesar, who had appointed Herod king of Judea, and who they were friends. They'd gone to school together when they were younger. Magnificent city. And so this is where Pilate spent, for the most part, all of his time. However, during the three feast days of the Jewish people, we're talking about Passover, we're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, Shavuot, okay? During those three pilgrimage festivals, when Jerusalem would be a swelling with Jewish pilgrims from all over the world, and there would be tremendous energy in that city, good or bad, the Roman governor, Pilate, would come up and be there with a contingent, a large contingent of the 10th Legion, which was stationed in Judea, to make sure that there was no trouble. When you were a Roman governor in the Roman Empire, your main job was to keep things calm. Pax Romana, if you understand what I'm saying. The Roman government wanted everything calm. The emperor wanted everything calm. And your job as the governor was to stop things like riots, demonstrations, small rebellions from happening. In fact, your neck was on the line if you didn't. And so that's why Pilate was in Jerusalem, because it was the feast of Passover. Okay, you got it now? This is why when the Apostle Paul was arrested at the end of the book of Acts, he spent 2 years in jail, not in Jerusalem, but in Caesarea. This is where he met with Felix, the Roman governor. This is where he met with Festus, the Roman governor, and stood before King Agrippa II. It was all in Caesarea, because that was where the capital was. Okay, we're together now, right? Okay, so Pilate comes into the Praetorium, but they're not there. They refuse to come in, so he's got to come outside. So verse 29. So Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." Remember, Jesus said he was going to be taken and he was going to be crucified in Jerusalem. And I told you last week, of course, that the Jewish people did not have the authority under the Roman occupation to put anyone to death. Only the Romans could do that. So this is why they said what they said. Verse 33. Then Pilate entered the Praetorium again, called Jesus in, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself, or did others tell you about me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were," subjunctive, "of this world, then my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am born a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world." Interesting conversation between Pilate and the Lord Jesus, in which the Lord Jesus agrees that he's the king, not just of the Jews, but the king of the universe. And it's clear that Pilate finds no crime in this man. Look with me, verse 38. Pilate went back out to the Jewish leaders and said, when he went out again to the Jews, he said to them, I find no fault in him at all. Interesting that Pilate starts off this way, finding no fault in Jesus and no reason to scourge him, beat him, certainly not to crucify him. You say, well, then how does he get from there to washing his hands and saying, take him away and crucify him? We're going to talk about that in a later message. Okay, so this is where we want to stop today. And the verse I want us to focus on is verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus says, knowing where your kingdom is has everything to do with the way you act on this earth. Let me say that again. Knowing where your kingdom is has everything to do with the way we act on this earth. Look what he said. My kingdom's not from here. If my kingdom were from here, my followers would fight to keep me from being captured. But since my kingdom is not from here, they don't do that. Do you see what I'm saying? Knowing where your kingdom is has everything to do with the way we behave here on this earth. That's our principle for today. Do we all have that? And so Jesus knew where his kingdom was, the heavenly kingdom, not on this earth. Therefore, he instructed his followers not to fight for him. Remember, Peter took the sword, cut off the high priest's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane to defend the Lord Jesus. And what did Jesus say? He said, put your sword away. I could call 12 legions of angels. That's roughly 72,000 angels. I don't know how many angels there are, but there's at least 72,000. I could call them. They would come deliver me. I don't need your sword, Peter, to deliver me. So he did not allow his followers to defend him because his kingdom was not of this world. Okay, you with me? Okay, now that's as far as we're going to go in the passage because we're going to stop and are going to ask our most important question. So are you ready? Come on now. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yeah. And my friend Jackie Gleason, how sweet it is that Jesus' kingdom is not of this earth. You know why? Because that means that as his followers, our kingdom is not of this earth either. Look what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. One of the greatest comments anywhere in the Bible. Philippians chapter 3, Paul says in verse 20, look at this, for our citizenship is in heaven. Oh my gosh, look at this. Where is our kingdom as a follower of Christ? Well, it's not here either. It's in heaven. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body when he comes. Okay, remember our principle. Knowing where your kingdom is has everything to do with how we act here on the earth. Where is our kingdom as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Our citizenship is in heaven. We are not citizens of this world. Peter says we are strangers and aliens. We're just passing through this world. The world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, the old hymn says. And our citizenship, our kingdom, is in heaven just like the Lord Jesus's is. Now, that being true, This explains why the Bible tells us to live the way we do. This is why the Bible tells us, don't return evil for evil, and not to scheme against other people, and not to step on other people to get up the ladder, and not to mistreat others just to get money. And all of this, why? Because why are we building a kingdom down here? This kingdom, we are not citizens of this world. Our kingdom is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. So to prostitute ourselves and to completely sacrifice our integrity and our morality and our ethics and our decency to build up power here, to build up money here, to build up fame and fortune here on the earth is completely inconsistent with where our kingdom is and where our citizenship is. We should be working to build up treasure in heaven, because that's where our kingdom is from. We should be working to please the ruler of heaven, the ruler of our kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be looking to amass rewards in heaven, not down here, because that's where our citizenship is. That's where our kingdom is. That's the message I want you to take home today. This is why Jesus says, and you know the verses, but I'll read them to you. It's from Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount. Look what Jesus says, and you know these verses. Do not, verse 19, lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay, my friends, our kingdom is heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Where should we be seeking to lay up treasure? Not here, but in heaven. That's exactly right. And so, this has massive implications for our life, and I want to just tell you about them as we close. Well, does this apply to money? Of course it does. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 that when we give to the work of God, we are actually transferring that money into our heavenly bank account. The money accrues in heaven. I'm not 100% sure how that exactly works, but it doesn't matter. That's what the Bible says. And therefore, this is why we as believers give generously to the work of God, because we're transferring funds into the place where our kingdom really is, our citizenship really is, and that's heaven. And I think all of us, when we get to heaven, are going to be sorry that we didn't transfer more when we were down here. I don't care how much you transfer or I transfer, we're going to wish we had transferred more. But this doesn't apply to money. This applies to every part of our life. My friends, we see people here on earth do horrible things to other people to build up, as I said, power, fame, fortune, their kingdom here on earth. I think of the movie Citizen Kane, where he did everything to build up his kingdom here on earth. And at the end, he was living in Xanadu and was completely alone. And what good was his kingdom on the earth? It's like the Lord Jesus said, you know the verse, what good is it if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And friends, that can be applied to us as believers. What good is it if we gain the whole world down here? This is not our kingdom. This is not where our citizenship is. This is not where our ultimate destination and our home is going to be for eternity. So what's the point? Now, let me add a caveat. Does this mean it's wrong to work hard and try to advance ourselves here on Earth? No. Does this mean it's wrong to try to maximize every gift God's given us and for His glory? No. As long as we do it righteously. What this means is that going up the ladder here and building your fame and fortune here and expanding your power and influence here on Earth can be used for the glory of God, yes. But since this world is not our kingdom, listen, it is not appropriate for us to violate our ethics. It is not appropriate for us to violate our integrity. It is not appropriate for us to ruin our reputation. It is not appropriate for us to treat others in scurrilous ways and cruel ways and illegal ways to gain power and influence. No, that is not okay. Listen to this verse from the book of Proverbs. I'm in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. Let's put it on the screen from the New American Standard. It says, a good name is to be more desired than great riches. Favor, that is from the Lord and men, is better than silver and gold. Favor is with God and men is more important than power and fame and fortune as well. And influence. So, knowing where our kingdom is has everything to do with the way we act here on Earth. I think of people like, I don't know, pick some names, Bernie Madoff, pick some other names. People who completely sacrificed their Weinstein out in Hollywood, Jeffrey Epstein, on and on you can go. Completely sacrificed their good name and their integrity and their morality to get ahead here on Earth. And you can think of more. I mean, these people are more above, they're everywhere. And why did they do that? Because they don't believe that in a kingdom after this world. They're not citizens of a kingdom after this world. They're not planning to face the king of that kingdom, a holy God, after this life. And therefore, they were willing to sacrifice everything to build a kingdom down here. Yeah, but we know we are members of a kingdom after here. And we know we're going to stand in front of the king of that kingdom, a holy God, and be judged in heaven, not to go to hell, but in heaven, where rewards are handed out. And we know that we're citizens of that kingdom, not the one down here. Therefore, it is not appropriate for us to repeat their behavior. Step on people. Take advantage of people. Do you know how many people? My gosh, I watched I don't know who made it, but it was a documentary on Bernie Madoff. And my gosh, all the people he hurt, all the organizations he bankrupted, all of the, oh my gosh, the people whose whole lives were ruined because of his behavior. Did he care? No. Why? He was building his kingdom down here. Now listen, if you get wealthy and you do it by treating people righteously, working hard, and God opens the doors for you to be wealthy, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Abraham was one of the most wealthy men on the face of the earth in his day. There's nothing wrong, and there's no need to apologize if God blesses you with amazing resources. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not a socialist, and I'm not in favor of just simply spreading the wealth to everybody equally. No, there are some people who work hard and do it righteously, and God blesses them with significant funds, and hopefully they'll use those funds to advance the kingdom of God on this earth.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, but to do what Madoff did, a lot of people steal from people. To do what others that you know at work do, they betray people, they scheme against people, they plot against people to get ahead. They're treacherous. No, just to get ahead? No, that is not the way God tells us to live. Because getting ahead in this world is not our ultimate goal. It is laying up treasure in heaven and rewards in heaven. That's the message today. So let me urge you and urge myself, every time we're tempted, and we all are, to do something unethical, to do something that is unrighteous, to scheme, to plan, to step on people, to use people, to hurt people, to get more power, glory, fame for ourselves. We must reject that and say, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, I would do this to people. But my kingdom is not of this world. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that our kingdom is not of this world. Oh, how great that is. Thank you that there is a kingdom in heaven of which we are citizens, and where we will spend eternity with the King himself, the living Lord Jesus Christ, and you, the God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray that you would help that to deeply and fully influence the way we behave down here on this earth. And Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name, make us especially sensitive to that. In Jesus' name, help us resist the temptations to do that kind of behavior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okie dokie. Well, Lord willing, and I'll be back next week with another Live with Lon, and we hope we'll see you then. God bless you.